Staining It Live with Rita Steele on 95BFM.
That's right.
Hello.
Phoning in from the great out west, Rita Steele.
From the west coast.
What's cracking? What do you know?
Not much. I'm really, really stoked for today's zero.
Hey, isn't that a good thing?
I know, it's so good.
Aren't we just like a rad little, cute little place that does the right thing from time to time?
Yes, and my partner was like, I think we should let off fireworks. I'm like, how do we have fireworks? And no.
That's great. Will gets my vote. Let off those fireworks, mate.
Yeah, I feel sorry. He's probably saved them for ages, and I probably went wax lyrical at somewhere about how you should never let fireworks off outside of fireworks time, and he's gone, uh-oh.
What about the dogs? it's good. It's got to be good for we've got to be attractive to sort of the big, you know, the Hollywood film people that want to make movies and that, right?
Yeah.
We're like the COVID-free little island now, but how do we go about it? And what is the ups and downs, and what is the goods and bads of us being COVID-free? And
how? There's just so many benefits, and I think for me, it's not just about COVID; it's about the fact that we've got, once again in our history, we are leading the world, or at least the Western world, anyway, and some really into the future, you know, doing some really cool things and leading the world. And I thought maybe it's a really good time to talk about some of the other environmental things that we could possibly look at leading the world in. Again, we make some of these things. I've got a list of top 10 things here that I think would be really cool to implement in New Zealand. We may not be the very first country to do it, but some of them we would be, or we'd be very close to being the first country.
Okay.
So should I crack into them?
Yeah, let's have a listen, and John and I will interject when we think maybe it's not a good idea.
Yeah, fair enough. Number one, I don't think you're never wrong with this one, ban plastic bottles.
Oh, man. Actually, that, tell you what, just a reminder to everyone, get back into your splitting your recycling up, because there was a fraction there where they were like, look, the recycling's not happening, so just chuck all your rubbish in whatever bin. And what's happened is it's kind of like got everyone into this, cool, who cares about that sort of frame of mind, I think. And there was actually there was a public news story about it, trying to get everyone to, hey, can you start separating your stuff again? So just on that plastic bottle buzz. But don't we need to... Well, that would be banning Coke, right? No, we're not going to do that.
No, they can just do glass bottles and have a recycling plant, and hey, we need the jobs, right?
Somebody told me that glass bottles is real, like, it takes a lot of energy
We had a conversation last week where it was like, look, plastic uses the least amount of energy. Glass and cardboard, far too much energy.
Is that just because
they
haven't got a good way of doing it yet? Or?
But also, you reuse the glass, mm. right?
Right, so you have like a bottle store thing where you take a swapper down and get new Cokes and you swap
the
glass.
Totally.
Yeah, okay.
Wash them,
can do that, yep.
They do that overseas with lots of Cokes.
Bring back the vintage milkman as well with the like bottles clanking around.
You won't be able to buy your 2.25 litres, though, I don't think.
We don't
so I don't
need
know
that
how
much
that's
Coke.
Gonna work.
We just need 330 mils, okay?
That's enough Coke for you.
We just need 330 mils of Coke, please.
The second one would be to sort out our carbon credits. So we've got a bit of a system. It's kind of a bit broken. We've had a system. It was very broken. So a cap and trade, which means that we go, right, this is how many we've got. And then we start trading them rather than actually going, oh, we'll just buy some more from overseas when
that's
we
so
stuff up.
It's like that means the richest place can just do what they want. It's so
exactly. It's just
mental,
stupid. It's cap and trade is the way to go. Also, things like currently farming isn't included, and they see that as a negative that they need to be included. But actually, we could be the first country to be carbon neutral farming, which would be so awesome.
Yeah, especially considering we're farming. That's what we do.
Yeah, we could be leading the way in like new techniques, regenerative farming, permaculture, that kind of thing. And also, for some reason, in our carbon credit scheme, pine forests get 10 times more credits than native forests, which is insane.
Don't they cut those down?
Yeah, but then they do have to pay them back. They have to pay a certain amount back, like it all gets worked out.
Okay.
They get money every year that they're up, and then when they cut them down, they pay for the loss of some of that carbon at some point. But the thing about native forests is that they're there forever, right?
Yes,
so
that's what I mean. Yeah.
More, yeah, it's just a bit crazy. And include existing forests. So they did this thing where, like, 1991, I think it was, where they just went, okay, any forest before then we're not including. And it's like, well, hang on a second, that doesn't really work very well for you know, the Brazilian indigenous forests or whatever, and the people that live in them that could be paid to keep them, you know, as they are. New Zealand, if we did that and we gave our indigenous people and the people that own those big lots of land money to keep them as they are, then it leads the way for the rest of the world to do the same. So a really good opportunity for us there to lead the world. The third one, we're kind of already getting our act together on slowly. Mining, in particular oil and gas exploration, has been banned. That's a little bit controversial, but it is the most dangerous phase of the oil industry. So when you are exploring, that's when the big deep sea horizon stuff can happen. So in New Zealand, we're miles from anywhere. It's really dangerous. If something goes wrong, we for help is months and months and months away. So there's not a lot of benefit. On top of that, if we were to look at mining, and where we do look at mining, we should be re-looking at our royalty scheme. At the moment, we get a very tiny amount back from our royalties on mining minerals and oil and gas. And that's usually under the benefit of jobs that it goes ahead. So we should be really looking at that royalty scheme. Norway own their oil and gas royal, like that, so they get 100% of their royalties. We should be looking at something like that, even though we wouldn't be able to get 100% because we don't have the technology. But we definitely should relook at it. And when we do decide it's worth it, we should be looking at getting sufficient deposits from the mining companies so that if anything does go wrong, it can be cleaned up. At the moment, those costs don't get covered by the deposits they're leaving, and there's many cases where we're just left with toxic wastelands. And we looked at a case a few weeks ago down in in Southland, where the company that was supposed to be cleaning up after Tiwai Smelter had gone under and left waste sitting in a warehouse.
Somebody's just messaged in saying when they were a younger man, they used to take their bottles out East Tamaki and get $250 for them, like kind of a scrap thing. And that actually kind of makes me think, you know, what if we turned our bottles or made all our bottles like out of like copper or something, you know, something that people salvage to get money. Like you can take copper to a place and you know what I mean?
Would
be an incentive to never throw that sort of stuff away because it's always money, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely look at, I don't know why they don't, why Coke doesn't have like refill machines and you just take your own container.
Like copper's worth quite a lot, like a hot water cylinder, copper is like $50 to $100 sometimes, depending on the copper price, you know? So it's interesting.
Stand you over for your Coke and your copper.
Well, I mean,
might also change
there is back when I was plumbing, they would people would come and nick the copper that you put in, you know, like overnight or over the weekend or whatever to scrap it. So it can get to a price. But imagine if you had the value in that thing, it wouldn't become a piece of trash. You know what I mean?
Number four I've got is a massive tax overhaul. So looking
tax the rich.
Well, no, looking at a progressive consumption tax, I think, is, from all my reading, the thing I'm the most a fan of. So scrapping income tax completely, so you get your income tax-free, but then looking at a progressive income consumption tax. So the idea behind this is that the first, say, $20,000 a year is untaxed, or whatever it is, that covers your basic food and living, and then it progressively gets more expensive to buy things.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about, tax the rich.
So, like, the people that want to go and buy a Lamborghini, that might have a 50% tax on it or something. It's an interesting, very different model, and I'm sure, I mean, these things are not necessarily you know, perfect the way I'm talking about them, but it's just something that we should be thinking about, leading the way and changing the way that we tax things. Because what that does is it cuts waste. And, you know, you're not going to buy something just to throw it out because it's going to cost you, a tax to buy. And then you'll think about, recycling and reusing things. The number five is a massive economic reform. We've talked about this lots before, but valuing the ecosystem, it needs to be included in our economic model. It's crazy that it's not. This helps justify green jobs and allows us to capture environmental cleanup. So in areas where we have we have an environmental system that's not functioning very well, it costs us a lot in other terms to help it function. If we clean it up, then we've got a better production line as well, because we're not having to put in as much inputs. It helps us improve our biodiversity and allows us to be more resilient to environmental shocks in the future. And also, again, like if we have that metric, we'll be the first ones in the world to be measuring not just GDP and you know, leading the way. Number six is a max fertiliser load on land, and this would help us. This would mean that people would need to de-intensify, particularly dairy. It does clean up our rivers, but there's no point trying to clean up our rivers if we're still pumping crap into them. So it's a really nice way of doing that cleanup and having to stop the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff, which is kind of what we're doing at the moment. It also encourages diversification in the likes of permaculture and having a farm that has more than just one thing on it. Number seven is to address our water rights, and this is a huge issue that politicians seem to be kicking the can down the road. It's very complex, but basically it needs to be done in accordance with the treaty.
Is this regarding people like just they have bottling water companies and they just pay for the land and they don't pay for the water? Is that what you're talking about? And they just have a well?
Yeah.
They drink up your milkshake, they drink it up.
Yeah, so to solve that problem, we really need to allocate water rights properly. And at the moment, the reason that's not being done is because governments don't really want to deal with the treaty settlement that'll come with allocating water rights. So even in Auckland, where we pay per litre for water, we're actually not technically paying per litre for water, we're paying for the pipes into our house and the infrastructure. So it's very carefully worded because they don't want to have that conversation about, you know, who owns the water.
Yeah.
But it kind of needs to happen, unfortunately. You know, I mean, unfortunately, because it is a tricky, complex, and probably very expensive thing for the country to do, but it really does need to happen because it does mean that we acknowledge the value of water and then we can better distribute it.
Is it because it's like a lifeblood for, you know, for our native people? Is it considered along the same lines as like seabed foreshore type thing?
It's a taonga.
Just as tricky to kind of...
A treasure, it is considered a treasure. So they would, according to the treaty, they do actually really own the rights to it. But because there's no money involved in water as it stands, successive governments...
Well, we're not valuing it.
Well, exactly. We've been able to get away with not really, you know, settling that part of the treaty. But what that means is that people use water in stupid ways, like, you know, the Denniston Plateau and Mackenzie Basin up that sort of way, where they're doing a lot of dairy and they're irrigating it, and it's just crazy, like irrigating a dry area to produce something that is just, if you added the cost of the water, it's just not a feasible.
Not even for a delicious cow.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden then you've got, not even if you do it properly, you've got the water being used where it should be used, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Number eight is an integrated marine management structure.
Are you counting it away from importance?
What?
You started with your most important plastic bottle? Is that what
they're just randomly? They're just random.
Okay, well, you decided to number them, not us. That's what I'm just...
Yeah, that's true. Well, I was a top 10. I was kind of like...
Oh, right. Okay, just like an overall... Okay, carry on.
So this was, we've apparently got the world's best quota management system for fisheries, which is kind of really shocking. It means the rest of the world is awful. It's like saying, oh, I'm only, I don't know.
Is it a win?
We know that the Gulf is totally brutish.
Yeah, and just the quota management system looks at fish species individually. So they go, you know, snapper, what should the quota be or whatever, but snapper's actually part of like an ecosystem.
We need to be eating squid, apparently. There's heaps of squid. I just had some squid.
What? They eat squid?
We need to eat squid. Apparently there's heaps of squid. Squid are ruling the ocean.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought that took away from like the whales and stuff.
Not a giant squid.
Yeah, they have big spikes, giant squid and whales.
I know.
Anyway.
Now, little squid. Dried little jerky squid, man. So good.
Jerky squid.
John doesn't like it. It's real good, though. It's good.
But we do need to start looking at our fisheries and our marine environment at a landscape level rather than just a species level and how they interact all together, and then make some calls based on that and, you know, maybe look at something like rolling marine reserves or something to help us regenerate the fish stocks. And also ban destructive fishing methods, you know, set netting around our, you know, one of the world's most endangered dolphin is just kind of nuts. And then number 9 is a cap on tourist numbers. So this would include ensuring better distribution while they are here, but allowing, a strategy that involves high-value, tourism.
Wait,
that
only the rich sense. Tourists?
Ooh. Well, I mean, not necessarily.
High-value. John Boy coming up with a controversial take there for number 9.
High value doesn't necessarily mean money. It could mean, there could be scientists that come here as tourists for certain things or whatever. So how we value that is really important.
Only people on business
and maybe
trips.
There's different categories or something. I think I've spoken before about a place I went to in Malaysia and they had a lottery system, I guess.
Who's going to pick our fruit trees, though, around when it's time to pick the fruit? Got to get your little Spanish tourists and whatnot for that.
I think they fall under immigration, doesn't it? Migrant jobs? I don't know.
Okay, I'm just making sure I get my kiwi fruit. That's the only one I'm getting at.
Well, then if you thought that one was controversial, the number 10 is going to be really controversial. I want to finish on one that I'm sure will be super controversial.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
no more rugby.
Human population management.
Ooh. Well, so just like a Duff blimp dropping condoms around everywhere? just hinting, just real strong hints. Eh? Like, hey, guys, you don't need to.
You definitely do not want to be breeding with that person. What this is more about is us deciding what our population looks like in 50, 100 years and then kind of working backwards from there and going, okay, cool, well, this year we didn't reach, let's just say it's literally to keep our population numbers exactly the same. Currently our population reproduction rates are below that. So every year they look at it, they go, right, we didn't even replace our population, so we'll then top that up with immigration. It would mean each year our immigration numbers would change.
Is that okay?
What?
That makes sense. Are you just dreaming that up now, or is that? Are you saying that's how it works?
These are all of my dreams.
Yeah, right.
Okay. I can't. So, they're not, they're not all perfect. I haven't thought the strategy out for all of them. But
hey,
from
you got
the reading
start somewhere.
I've done, I don't know. I see that we're in a really unique place right now, where we've got the eyes of the world on us. New Zealand has, for a long time, led the world in strong, bold moves, nuclear-free movements. They're anti-apartheid, and now's a really good time for us to lead the world from an environmental point of view as well.
Imagine how livid people without access to safe water in the developing world would be to see us flushing toilets with treated potable water. So true.
100%.
And then they ended up with a Rita Rules with a Z, so that's cool.
100%. It's every time I flush my toilet, I feel bad about it. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
It is. It's a lot of water. It's litres and litres. We're supposed to be saving 20 litres a day right now. That baffles me, dude. That's a lot of water.
If it's yellow, let it mellow, right?
Hard. If it's brown, put the lid down maybe at this point.
Oh, wow.
Poo on poo, eh?
Poo on poo, oh, God. Okay, I think we clocked it. Wait, should we end on shit? On shit?
Yeah, let's end it on that.
Thank you, Rita.
You guys have a good week.
Take it easy.
Bye.
That was Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.